Welcome on into our October 2nd, Wednesday edition of Sports Talk. Steve Geller with Cullen Steele bringing you till 8 o'clock this evening. After our first break, we'll check in with Saints sideline reporter and WWL digital content producer Jeff Nowak, get his latest takes on the Davante Adams trade talk. Also, that upcoming Monday night matchup, Week 5 in Kansas City against those 4-0 Chiefs. 7:25 hour, we'll do a little more of our Pels Power Hour. Going to talk to Ollie Cosell, credentialed NBA writer who covers the team as training camp is in full swing for the Pellies. Preseason game number one on Monday. We'll also hear from head coach Willie Green and some other sound from training camp that's being held out of state currently. You know, the Pellies also having reworkings, renovations going on at the facility over there. So they are out of town for training camp.
They're in Nashville?
Nashville, Tennessee. There, yes, sir. They will have their first preseason game at home, at least. That'll be in the Smoothie King Center Monday afternoon at 12:30 tip.
It's so early.
Right.
Against the Magic, I think?
That's correct, and that'll be here on 870 AM. Of course, we'll have that for you. Now, the station for your Pelicans, you can tune in and listen to that with Todd Greffanini and John DeShazer on the call. But what a busy day for that. We're going to have, obviously, the Pelicans game on 870 AM, at night, Monday Night Football, right?
That's going to be such a long day. Good day. Good day.
Fun and interesting times ahead here at WWL. We're going to be managing Pelicans games, Saints games, obviously LSU games.
I can't wait.
LSU baseball, basketball, all that in the mix. So
you're home for everything.
There you go. That's a good commercial right there, Cullen.
You're home for everything.
Looking at this matchup on Monday Night Football, I know a lot of folks concerned. Obviously, this Kansas City Chiefs team, defending Super Bowl champs, and they've won back-to-back Super Bowls. And they've done something in the first 4 weeks that the Saints haven't been able to the last two, and that's finding a way to win and just closing out the game to get the W. And I guess that's part of that championship pedigree you have over there, obviously, in a head coach with Andy Reid, and then the quarterback, obviously, in Patrick Mahomes is so elite. I really do think he is a step and above everybody else in the NFL at that position right now. I think Josh Allen's great. I think Lamar's great. But just Patrick Mahomes, his ability to just even how he manipulates his body to make a throw or just run for a play, it's truly amazing.
No, it is. You can't really – I got a buddy of mine who's a big Minnesota Vikings fan. And
he's got to be loving life right now with Sam Darnold.
He's
loving life,
but he's talking to me and he's like, why aren't people saying we're the best team in the league? And I'm like, I think you guys are. I think the Vikings are playing the best football right now. But until I see the Chiefs lose – I don't think you can beat them. I don't think anybody can beat them. Like, I are they playing the best football right now? No.
But they're doing enough to get the W.
They're winning. And it's like, I don't think they can't win right now. Counting playoffs last year, they're only like an 8-7 game win streak. And it's just like, I was talking to Mike earlier, and I was like, that's kind of, Brad even said, he's like, we have the better roster. We've got them beat man-to-man for the most part. I mean, not counting, you know, the likes of Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes, but we've got the better lineup, so to speak. But they know how to close games better than anybody else in the league. Whether we are good at that or not, lately we haven't been, but they know how to close games. Nobody can do it like them. And if it's going to be a close one, I wouldn't give us the edge. So we have to come out swinging. We have to be what we were in the first 2 weeks.
Looking at this week's schedule, and who are the Vikings playing?
They're playing the Jets Sunday morning London.
That's right, the London game.
Oh, first London game. I was going to say, they had the Brazil game. I forgot about
it. I think, what are there, three London matchups or four this year?
Are they all London? I know there's another one next week. Week 6 is Jaguars-Bears in London. And then do they have any, like, Germany games? They usually have, like a Berlin game or something like that.
Yeah, I'll have to go through the international schedule to see exactly who is what and where. But, yeah, that'll be interesting to see. Obviously, we get early football come on Sunday. That's an 8:30 start. The Vikings taking on the Jets. And my only time in London, I was there for the Saints taking on the Vikings. And unfortunately, that was the double doink game. The Saints ended up not getting the victory in that matchup. But other than that, had a fantastic time getting to spend time in London. Awesome stuff. And that's actually, you know what? That actually popped up on my Facebook memories. That was 2 years ago this week. So it's kind of funny that the Vikings are out there right now again. to play the Jets. Wondering when the next Saints international game is and where they're going to be heading this time.
Is there like a cycle? Because like we like the Jaguars have had it like every single year or something like that. But like I don't like is there.
It feels like they've had it a lot.
Is there a way they cycle it where like oh you know this year it's your turn kind of deal or no?
No, I'm not sure if they how they determine who ends up being
Same.
You know part of that international lineup. But like I mentioned 2 years ago, I was there for Saints Vikings and they're back in London again this year. So
is that the only that's the only Saints one we've had international, right?
No, they've been
was
in London.
There was another one? Okay.
Against the Chargers, too.
Yeah. I remember that one. Yep.
And didn't they play the Dolphins overseas, or am I mistaken on that?
I'll have to do some
I'll have to do some digging. But, yeah, definitely recall the international game against the Chargers was in London. But the unfortunate ending to the Saints-Vikings game 2 years ago, the stadium was gorgeous there in Tottenham. The locker room, I know, is really mad for a soccer team. And you would not believe how spacious and just cavernous it was. I felt like you could get lost in it.
Is it the stadium where, like, the roof, like, folds into the big, like, screen? Is that what I'm, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Is
yeah,
it
that
stadium?
Time, right.
Oh, that's so cool. Like, I don't, because it's like a, it's, the roof is made of, like, this, like, it's not, like, metal or anything. It's like a parachute, almost, or something like that. You can, like, fold it up.
I just remember being amazed by, too, the fact that I was pretty prepared for my trip. And did not end up bringing sunscreen for me. And, of course, that day it was blaring for the game and kickoff.
In London?
It was pretty brutal for that matchup,
in,
yeah.
What was it, August? No, like
no, this time of year. It was this exact date, actually, October 2nd, they were playing out there.
Sunburnt. I did check, though, the Jaguars. And I think, don't quote me on this, I think they had the same thing last year. They have two back-to-back London games. And I'm almost certain they did the exact same thing last year where they had two back-to-back London games. One where
they're
they
like
were
the unofficial team of
they
London.
They are. Everyone talks about how, like, the, you know, if the team ever, if a team ever goes international,
moving,
it
right.
will be them. But, I mean, so, yeah, so, you know, the next 3 weeks, you have a Sunday London game with two of those being Jacksonville versus the Bears and then Patriots versus Jacksonville. And then in week 1, 2, 3, however long it is, back in the second weekend of November, the Giants and the Panthers, Munich. That's,
ooh,
I think,
how exciting
the last
for Germany.
One. I don't think. There's a big Giants contingent over there, but I feel like if you're a Panthers fan, you might not want to travel.
Wow, if you're the NFL, it's like, how did we schedule this
snoozer? You can't flex those. That's not something.
No, you cannot flex that, right.
You cannot flex those.
But yeah, so poor Munich gets the Panthers and the Giants, two of the worst teams in the league. Not a great representation of the NFL there.
No, and I mean, in some of the primetime games that week are Cincy Baltimore at the moment, and then Lions Texans. You can't flex that. I hate to say it, but high hopes for Bryce Young. Maybe he turns it around by that. Maybe the Red Rocket is leading them to like a. I mean, that's looking like what 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 week 10. So we'll be with the Browns at that point, I think. So we'll have the bye week after.
Yeah, that's that like I said, just a mess for Munich there. It doesn't seem like a fun game for them.
I mean, it'll be Sunday morning, 8:15. We'll talk about it during First Take, but we might not have much to say.
Yeah, schedule makers there, they did a disservice to Germany on that one, but oh well. Looking at some MLB playoff action, we heard earlier the Detroit Lions knocking out the Houston Astros, a 5-2 score in that wild card matchup in the last game there. And right now in the top of the eighth inning, Kansas City Chiefs have a 1-0 lead in that three-game series over Baltimore. They have a 2-1 lead in the game. We'll be keeping tabs on that as we go on in the show as well. I'm going to take a break now. When we get back, we'll get into some Saints talk with sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, get his thoughts on what's been going on with the rumblings that Davante Adams has really two teams in his sights, at least, that he'd like to go to, one being the New York Jets, obviously the Aaron Rodgers connection, and then the good old black and gold, the New Orleans Saints. Derek Carr, a former teammate and the wide receivers coach as well, has strong connections with the receiver. Will it be enough to sway and help a trade to New Orleans? We'll talk about it right after this. So stay tuned on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Be right back. Welcome back into Sports Talking. Countdown to another big weekend of college and NFL football with WWL. Just join Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, and Mike Dettillier for a special edition of Sports Talk. That's Saturday at Rouse's Market on Clearview in Metairie. Huddle up with the pros, celebrate football, and make some groceries with Bobby, Deuce, and Mike. That's live at the Rouse's Market at 717 Clearview Parkway. I'll get it right. Saturday afternoon, 1 to 4 on WWL and always live on the free Odyssey app. We're talking Saints football. Of course, we got to welcome in our sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak. Jeff, man, oh, man, been a pretty interesting day from all the buzz about, obviously, a certain wide receiver being mentioned as a favorite amongst the teams along with the New York Jets. It's kind of refreshing to hear that, you know, the Saints being a preferred destination, at least, right off the bat.
Well, I suppose. I mean, I don't think it's really anything about the Saints in particular that has Davante Adams interested. It's Keith Williams, who's his former wide receivers coach at Fresno State, and obviously they've worked together in the offseason and other locations. And then Derek Carr, who's his former quarterback at Fresno State, and they obviously spent 15 games together with the Raiders in 2022. So, you know, yeah, it's refreshing, but it's also not like, oh, I got to go play for the Saints. So I think it is kind of a weird scenario that way. But it's definitely added some intrigue to what would otherwise have been a kind of ho-hum Wednesday.
Yeah, looking at the reality of it or the likelihood, could the Saints pull this off? Obviously, trade-wise, I think the draft capital they have, they could include a player or two if they wanted in this deal. But I think, obviously, the draft picks are the most important thing that the Raiders would be looking for. But cap-wise, how doable is this for the Saints? How much manipulating would need to be done?
Well, I mean, there's two questions there. One, can they do it? Which they can do it. They can figure it out. They never did touch Alvin Kamara's contract, so there's some extra cap space that can be freed up there, whether it's an extension or a restructure, if they did need to do it. You would have the option to maybe extend Devontae off his current contract, add some void years, restructure his deal somehow. So you could get it done. It would be complicated, and it would just be a kind of departure back to the, I guess we're all in again, era of, you know, the final last few years of Drew Brees. And it's not something that this team has really signaled it's all that interested in doing. Now, when you end up with a scenario where a star wide receiver comes available and you can get him into your building for a price that you feel comfortable paying, then maybe that changes your dynamic to some extent. I would still be very, very surprised if the Saints, who spent this whole offseason being pretty conservative with the deals they were handing out and the decisions they were making, would suddenly throw caution to the wind and say, hey, at 2-2, now we feel like we are there. We're one player away. Because that, to me, my philosophy on this type of thing is, if you are in a position that you would consider yourself to be kind of Super Bowl or bust, a Super Bowl contender, and you feel like you're one player away, then sure, make win now trades, do what you got to do, throw your chips in the middle of the table, whatever metaphor you need to use to make it make sense to you, do it. You don't make that type of trade to go from being a non-playoff team to a playoff team. And that's what I would feel like would be happening. What it would do is probably cement the status quo of what you have now. You know, if I'm Dennis Allen, I'm kind of looking at it as like, what better job security could I have than making sure that there's really no way to reset the deck in a clean fashion? If you got to the point where you wanted to do that, because the only way that you could really manage this in a way that you go into next season feeling like you can compete is to kind of keep the deck the same, restructure Derek, push his cap commitment out into the future, restructure Alvin, push his cap commitment out into the future, keep the veterans in-house that you already have, because you won't be able to afford some of these cap hits that would come with moving on from a DeMario Davis, a Tyrann Mathieu, a Cam Jordan, and Alvin Kamara, you know, go down the line. So to me, that would be the consequences. You lose any and all flexibility you had to change things after this season. Now, maybe you don't want to. Maybe that's something you weren't planning on doing anyway, in which case, fine, go for it. But it seems like a pretty, even, you know, Devontae might want it, but I think there's a difference between Devontae wanting to be somewhere in the team that, you know, he's talking about actually feeling like it's the best course of action.
Yeah, you mentioned obviously with him coming over, I believe like his next season's contract, there's no money guaranteed, kind of like an Alvin Kamara situation. So he's basically playing out the final year of his current deal. You would think there would need to be a reworked contract to extend him if there was a plan from any team to bring Davante Adams into the mix.
I mean, there's money guaranteed. It's just not $44 million, which would be his cap hit. Now, you could cut him after this season and accept a $15 million dead cap charge. Oof. But this is not a team that's really going to be super keen on doing that. So, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy who you would most likely want to find an extension with. But you're also talking about a 31-year-old NFL football player. So how long do you want that commitment to be? I don't know. It's a tough scenario. That said, they could do it. It's really a question of whether they think it's the best call. And you have to weigh team chemistry. You have to weigh, okay, how would he fit into the offense? There's no question that he would make your team better.
Right.
But, you know, there's something to be said for this entire group went through camp, they put all the blood, sweat, and tears in. I think the wide receiver position, you look at Chris Olave, you look at Rashid Shaheed, you know, with one kind of brain-dead punt fielding decision excluded, you look at two guys who I think have played very, very well. I think they've done everything that you would hope that they would do. And so that would be a tough thing to sell if I was in that position. Be like, well, what could I have done differently where you don't feel like you need to go out and supplant me with a star that you feel better about? So I don't know. It's a tough scenario. I'm interested to see how it plays out. The Jets feel like the most obvious option, right? And I think the Jets are in a position where they can absorb that contract and they can do it in a way that is not as damaging to their future cap table. And I don't know what their draft assets are, but I'm sure they have them. So that would still be the most likely scenario to me, but it's still kind of, it's fun to kind of imagine what this offense would look like with Devontae in black and gold for sure.
Talking about what's going to look like, the injury report coming out tomorrow for this Saints squad. I know they went through a little bit of a walkthrough today. Media didn't have access. We'll get our first look at the team tomorrow, and obviously the first injury report for Week 5 Monday Night Football at Kansas City will be out tomorrow. What are we expecting on there from anyone from Alvin Kamara, Taysom Hill? I know even Tyrann Mathieu and the other guys that were out in last game, like a DeMario Davis, and so on. The injury report just seems to be growing for this team, and I don't know exactly if there's any hope of getting anyone back.
Well, I mean, there's hope of getting guys back. I guess, like, so Tyrann Mathieu played in that game. He left with a groin injury. This is not a game he wants to miss, so I'm sure he'll fight pretty hard to get on the field. Obviously, played for the Chiefs for several years, went to multiple Super Bowls. Alvin, I think he, you know, as much as he was playing through, I don't think his situation is going to be any worse than it was last week, so you feel good about that. DeMario, we'll have to see. Cesar Ruiz is one that we'll have to wait and see. Willie Gay, I'm intrigued to see whether he can get back on the field or not. He's dealing with something to do with his hand. There was an Instagram post of him in a hospital somewhere getting something done. So we'll have to see. I know some people I had asked, like, hey, could you just club it and play like that? It's certainly possible. But I do think that if you're going to try to do that, you would want him on the field at some point this week to at least kind of test that out. So we'll see how that goes. But now certainly a lot of injury questions to deal with. They do at least have one extra day to get these guys healthy. Kendre Miller is an interesting question. He's eligible to return from IR this week. The only question is he ready? I think it's likely that he gets out into practice at the very least this week, and you kind of gauge it from there, but we'll have to wait and see. I know when Day was talking about it on Monday, he was kind of non-committal to that. I think it's kind of just, you know, he's not going to tell us, but I would expect to see him out there. So if he can get back, that would be a nice little punch added, because you just have not seen any depth players really impact this team in a tangible way. And that includes the tight end position. That includes anyone beyond Alvin Kamara at the running back position. That includes anyone beyond Rashid and Olave at the wide receiver position. So A.T. Perry is another guy that he got hurt in the week last week dealing with a hamstring issue. He was out for that game. It's a long list. But I do think that, you know, you did at least feel like, hey, the players you had filling in played pretty well in that game. Obviously, there were some issues on that final drive. But, I think the backup linebackers you had in there behind Willie Gay and DeMario Davis played pretty well. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me that I'm curious to find out about is more with the running back position. Obviously, AK, we know, is dealing with ribs. Taysom Hill left the game, not sure quite exactly what his status is with his rib injury as well. And then just you mentioned Kendra Miller. Can he come back? Can he contribute right away this week? I'm sure it wouldn't be an extremely heavy workload if he is back in action. And just because Jamal Williams, to me, I just feel has been lost in the shuffle of late. You know, not many carries the past two games, and it's just perplexing of why he can't get more action.
Yeah, it's strange, and I do think that you really do have to try to take some of this workload off of Alvin Kamara. He's not going to – I mean, as good as he has been, you're not going to go very far if you don't have Alvin for the final second – for the second half of the season, which at this point, it's like you keep – you're running him into the ground with the amount of work he's getting. You need someone to take some of that workload. Why it can't be Jamal, I'm not sure. But, no, I mean, the issue with Kendra is it's been, what, 2 months, 2.5 months since – he's been on the field at all, honestly, more than that, because we're going back to minicamp. The last time he actually got any actual work in, he got hurt on the first day of training camp, so you can't even count that. So, I mean, it's going to be – I think he's going to have a pretty decent ramp-up period to make sure he's ready to go. I'd be kind of surprised if he was available in week five. It would be nice. It would be a good sign for him if he was. But that's I think that's a big ask for someone who hasn't been on the field that long. I would settle for him just being a participant, even a limited participant, all 3 days of practice. I think that would be an excellent sign for him, just in terms of getting him back. Because, yeah, there's been a punch missing in the running back room just in general. You just haven't seen that burst from anyone other than Alvin. So, no, he's definitely a guy that I think this team really, really wants and needs to get back and get involved, and hopefully he can stay healthy. I mean, that's been the issue, right? He's been hurt. Him and A.T. Perry, both those guys, they just can't seem to stay healthy. So, you know, maybe you can get on the right side of that and get some production out of that position, because I just have a feeling that if you keep trying to get the amount of work out of Alvin that you have been over the last couple weeks, he's not going to survive very long in this season.
Yeah, what's really curious, too, going into a Kansas City week, is that this Chiefs squad is so banged up as well, especially we know on that offensive side of the ball, running back, wide receiver, just really have been getting decimated over there. But somehow they've done what the Saints weren't able to do the past two games. They found ways to win, coming out with the victory, 4-0 team. But you feel like that this Saints team can hang with them, obviously, and with the strength being this defensive squad, albeit, you know, the final drive of games, the last two games, they can limit the Chiefs, I feel like, especially since they are so dinged up and your main target is a guy in Travis Kelce who folks are kind of saying he's in the, you know, waning years of his career. I still think he's obviously a dangerous presence for this team, but Patrick Mahomes getting it to his wide receivers, the guys that he has right now just aren't the same that you would expect it to begin at the beginning of the year, and just feel like this Saints squad definitely can keep pace with this team. Can they really come out ahead and find a way to win in Kansas City and do what nobody's done in a while?
Yeah, well, yeah, you're going to look at 4-0 and say, like, wow, this Kansas City Chiefs team must be dominating. And the fact is, they could just as easily be 0-4. And the difference between the Chiefs and the Saints at this point in the season is the Chiefs understand how to win close games, and the Saints do not. And the Saints have done things to lose themselves close games, like run into each other and foul in key moments. Whereas that just seems like something the Chiefs have, you know, and that's when you win so many close games over a period of time, you're going to start to be good at it. Winning is a skill. I've always said that. Like, winning is a skill and losing is a skill. And right now the Saints seem to be more skilled at finding ways to lose than finding ways to win. But you look at the games the Chiefs have played, the Baltimore in the opener, Isaiah Likely, if his foot was a size 12 instead of a size 14, that's a Chiefs loss. They beat the Bengals by 1 point. They beat the Falcons by 5, and you could argue that they got bailed out by a non-call in the end zone on that final Falcons drive, so they could just easily have lost that game. And then against the Chargers this past week, they were down 10-0. They ended up winning 17-10, a lot of missed opportunities for the Chargers. So, no, I mean, this Chiefs team is anything but dominant. They lost their top receiver in Rashee Rice. Last week, he's done for the year. I mean, Pat Mahomes actually took him out after throwing an interception, trying to make a tackle, actually wiped out his own wide receiver. So that's some friendly fire there. Isaiah Pacheco is out. You're looking at Kareem Hunt, who just got signed, and Carson Steele. So, you know, I still wouldn't bet against Mahomes on Monday Night Football at Arrowhead, but you know, I don't think this game is going to be as, yeah, I think this will be a close game. I think the Saints should feel like they can go in there and be very competitive with this team, with this Chiefs team. And we'll have to see, but it's just, if you get into a scenario where Pat Mahomes has the ball trying to, you know, win a game on the final possession, like you have the last 2 weeks with, or at least, you know, last week with the Falcons, and the week before that, you needed to stop at the 2 minute warning. I don't like the Saints' chances because that's Pat Mahomes. So we'll have to see, but I'd like to see the Saints go in there and play a clean game, whatever happens, right? They could lose that game, but if they can just play a clean game and eliminate some of these dumb errors, dumb mistakes that they've been making the last 2 weeks, I think they'll feel better about it, even if they don't win. But I do think if they can go in there and play a clean game, I think they should be able to win that game.
Appreciate you, Jeff. We'll be talking even more about the Saints and Kansas City Monday Night Mayhem coming up on the Inside Black and Gold podcast tomorrow morning. I'll speak to you then, man.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Our Saints sideline reporter and WWL digital content producer, Jeff Nowak. There you can follow him at Jeff_Nowak on Twitter. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk after the break. Stay tuned right here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Just did a bunch of black and gold discussion. You can check that out. Also go to the Inside Black and Gold podcast. You can hear more of me and Jeff Nowak discussing the Saints. We got a final in the Kansas City Royals versus Baltimore game. The Orioles go down 2-1 to KC. The Royals take that series 2-0, so they are moving on to the next round. Well, they'll face the New York Yankees. Earlier today, we had the Detroit Tigers knocking off the Houston Astros. Also, a 2-0 series there after the Tigers got a 5-2 victory over the Astros. Detroit moves on. They'll be playing the Cleveland Guardians. Still tough for me to get that one out. I'm so
really?
Used to saying Indians.
I'm kind of used to that one.
I've been good with the Commanders. It took me a little while for the Chargers to not say San Diego anymore.
Yeah, that one took a while for me, too.
But for whatever reason, I don't know why I was able to get over the Washington Redskins. Maybe because they transitioned to the Washington football team for that short time and then went into Commanders.
Kind of like bought themselves a year of
a
like,
buffer there, yeah.
Of like correctness. Like, give us some time, guys.
But I saw on the talk and text line somebody was making fun of me. Apparently earlier when I was talking about the baseball games, I said the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Detroit Tigers, or I said the Detroit Lions.
I think Mike did the same thing sometime in the
oh,
fourth.
Maybe it was him then.
It might have been him. Like, we have football on the brain, all right? We'll talk about the MLB.
I know. I'm not very smart. It did not come out well.
We have football on the brain. Our mind is, and especially after the Lions' performance on Monday, dude, they're like, did you watch that game?
Oh, yeah. No, the uniforms, everybody was raving about them. I thought it kind of looked like Carolina Panthers to me.
The uniforms were badass. They played incredibly well.
They are badass, the team.
Goff's
right.
Perfect game. His Detroit special where he caught a catch. I mean, like, I'm like, as Bobby always says, like, they're kind of like, they're like the Saints of the North. Like, they're like, you know how cities around the world have like sister cities where like the governments are like connected. It feels like a sister team. Like it, like they're the team I root for when they're not playing us. They're like my home away from home. I really like the Lions, man. I it's hard to hate them right now.
I saw earlier today you mentioned the Jared Goff game, perfect game, passing the ball, 18 of 18 passing.
Yep.
He also caught a touchdown in that game.
Yeah, and it was like the same play. That's why I saw it. Right. I called it the Philly special because that's what they called it for the Foles against the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Well, FanDuel put this out earlier today. I'll give them the credit. Jared Goff now has more receiving touchdowns than Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Jalen Waddle, George Pickens, Sam Laporta, Travis Kelce, Trey McBride and Mark Andrews, quite a list right there that now Jared Goff has more receiving touchdowns than those players. And yes, I have Mark Andrews on my fantasy team, and I am in misery currently looking for a tight end.
You think that's bad? I've got Mahomes, Kelce, and Worthy on my team, and I'm starting all of them because my philosophy is if they win, I win, and if they lose, I still win. The only thing I can't have happen is what the Saints did last week where they lose the game and the other team's offense basically does nothing. I will be a sad man on Tuesday night.
What was sad for me is I said I have Mark Andrews at the tight end position.
He's done nothing.
Well, I went and grabbed Taysom Hill as my backup and was riding him, and now I've got to worry about, obviously, injury with Taysom and him not taking part in this game. I don't know anything yet. We'll find out tomorrow, obviously, with the injury report, but it's not looking good, I would say, for Taysom on Monday night.
I mean, you would, as I was telling you in the break, like the, it's kind of like this game is not important for both teams. Like, I feel like it is for the Saints because, you know, you don't want to be on a three-game skid. It is the first primetime action you have. Like, you don't want to have your 15 minutes of fame and, like, falter. You don't want to, like, be shoved on stage and just, like, forget your lines.
No, we already had that in the first two games. We got a bunch of hype for showing up big, and now the last 2 weeks have been...
So, like, we need to show up because it's a get-right game. I think what I told Bobby, like, a couple weeks ago is, like, look, if you want to hang with the big dogs, you have to beat the big dogs. And this is the biggest
big dog.
It is the big dog. And so I'm not super against us also taking a step back and going, hey, this game's important, but if we lose it, AFC opponent... So not even conference. And then the next game is
also way important.
Massive against a team that will be rested. We'd have a short week because we have Monday night.
You're right.
They play tomorrow.
Thursday.
It's literally, we talk about rest advantages in the NBA.
Oh, that's terrible.
It is literally the NFL rest advantage. They will have an extra like 2 or 3 days because they'll play tomorrow. So they'll be able to watch the game Monday night and just scheme the crap out of us. So if you're going to say, Taysom, can you play Monday at 80% or 90%, or can you just give us
save
a little bit more time
Tampa, maybe,
and
like,
save for Tampa? I would say do it, because at the end of the day, like, could any game we lose be the reason we don't make the playoffs? Sure, but those NFC South matchups are there for a reason. They're like your easiest path to the playoffs will be to win the South.
No, it hurts my brain at the end of the year when you're trying to figure out all the tie-breaking scenarios. And obviously, if you're not winning against your divisional opponents, you're not going to have any kind of advantage of them if it comes down to that.
Yeah, I mean, and we're 1-1 right now?
1-1 right now.
1-1, and I don't... We would be ahead of... Because the Bucks haven't played the Panthers. They play the Falcons this week, so like the Falcons haven't played the Panthers. When we play the Bucks in 2 weeks... I think we'd be the only one in the division with 3 games under our belt. And that's kind of what Jeff talked about with like last week or the week before we had him on. And he was like, the first half of this schedule is a lot of NFC. Like
loaded with NFC South.
We have like 1 or 2 games after the bye week. I think we have both of our Falcons games before the bye week. And then we just have like the Bucks once, Panthers once. And it's like the last, again, I can't preface enough how important it is that the Saints come out alive in this, you know, first 7 or 8 week stretch. But they came out strong. They've kind of fallen flat the last 2 weeks, but again, we talked at length, you know, go into that Thursday night football game against the Bucks 3-3, and they've got a chance to get right in these next 2 games.
No,
just
and you
which
brought up
one
a great
do you prioritize?
Point too. I didn't even think about the fact, yeah, we got Tampa Bay playing the Atlanta Falcons tomorrow right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. But
huge.
Man, oh man, the Bucks, they get off all that time then while the Saints have to play Monday.
So it is like as true of a rest advantage you can get, which is why like if you're going to prioritize a game. Is it going to feel bad to lose against... It's the Chiefs. No one's going to say you should have won that game right now. Are you kidding me? They're favored by like 5.5 points right now in Kansas City. If you're going to lose it, people are going to be like, all right. But again, like Jeff said, play a clean game and lose, and people might be higher on the Saints than if they'd even won.
Yeah, I'm still high on the team, obviously. The two losses back-to-back have been so disappointing. They've been, obviously, in both games. Hopefully, they can get a little bit healthier here going into this matchup. But once again, right after the KC game, you got a matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which will be vital for positioning come later on in the year. I'm going to take a break, and we'll be back, which is vital right now. Stay tuned right here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Tomorrow, me and Mike Dettillier will be at the Treasure Chest Casino. Be sure to stop by The Game Bar and Grill to meet up with us. We'll be breaking down the Saints Week 5 matchup against the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs. And how can the black and gold pull off a stunner in Kansas City? Plus, what games are you most interested on Sunday with the Saints playing Monday night? We'll also get you ready for the Pelicans basketball season, and also stick around for Thursday night football. We just mentioned that between the Atlanta Falcons and Tampa Bay Buccaneers on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey apps. Cullen, can we root for a tie in that matchup between those two teams?
Do we want? Is that how that works? Do we want a tie? Would they be like? Is that where that like half game lead?
Yeah, I think that would hurt both of them there instead of somebody getting a win.
I don't know if like at the moment, just because we haven't played them yet, I'm going to go for the Bucks.
Want the Bucks to win or lose?
Win. And also, mainly because it stings less if they win the division than the Falcons, because they're like,
boo.
The Falcons are more of a rival. So, like, I'm Bucks and Baker all the way.
Next hour, we're going to get to some our Pelicans Power Hour, some audio of head coach Willie Green and players, plus Ali Cozell, credentialed NBA writer, will be joining us as we talk training camp and the upcoming preseason matchup. Stay tuned right here on WWL.